Apollo's nostrils flared. What's wrong with my daughter? Hearing him say the word daughter had me seeing the world in amber, but pissing Apollo off and having him run away without getting what I needed wasn't going to help Josie, so I really needed to slow my roll. I drew in a deep breath. She isn't recovering as quickly as she should. She's been physically sick, and I can barely feel any ether in her. Apollo glanced at the door, and for a moment I thought he was going to leave the temple, but he briefly closed his eyes. When they reopened, there were irises, eyes as blue as the sea. They were identical to Josie's, with the exception of the pupils. His weren't black, they were white. And that was some weird-looking shit right there. When she was being held by the Titans, they placed these bands on her wrists to block her powers. I explained. Shit, Apollo said. That didn't sound good. So you know of these bracelets? He nodded curtly. Those bracelets are fashioned in Tartarus to entomb the Titans. They mute the effects of ether. They may slow down healing if her injuries were significant enough. He frowned slightly. They shouldn't make her sicker. Well, they are. We need to get them off of her now. Only Hades would have the ability to unlock them. Then can we get Hades' ass up here and do it? None of the other gods will come near you or Josie. They will not risk it. Anger hummed under my skin. Fucking cowards! Bring him to this temple and I can bring Josie here. They will not risk it even inside this temple or any temple. Apollo replied, they do not trust you. They do not trust what you are and aren't capable of. And do you? I retorted. Apollo's gaze leveled on me. I simply know you're capable of anything. I could take Josie to Hades. My jaw locked down. Not going to happen. You'd refuse aid for her? I will refuse the idea of her going anywhere with you by herself. I shot back. Do not think I've forgotten how Hades wanted to take out Alex. This has nothing to do with Alex. But it shows a long history of you guys making shit choices. I unclenched my hands. I will not leave Josie unprotected, even with you. Figure something else out. Those bands have to come off. A strange look flickered over Apollo's expression. It was strange, because it almost looked like pride. But that made no sense. He was probably constipated. I will go to Hades and see what can be done. Disbelief thundered through me. How can you be unaware of what has happened to her? What's she going through? Or do you just not give a fuck? Do not question how I feel about my daughter. Or what I would do for her. He cautioned, his voice eerily low and calm. You do not understand. You couldn't understand. Yeah, that sounded like a whole load of bullshit. At least I can admit that I made a mistake by leaving her. You can't even acknowledge that you weren't there for her. Apollo closed his eyes and looked like he was counting under his breath. When they reopened, he still appeared to want to hit me. Too bad. You made the right decision. My brows flew up. What? Those creepy-ass eyes met mine. Leaving her was the right choice at the time. You showed a level of restraint I never believed you were capable of. Was Apollo complimenting me? You left her to protect her. There is no fault in that. I had no words. None. Apollo stepped back, his gaze traveling to the altar on the raised dais. I will go to Hades. I will make sure he assists us, one way or another. His gaze settled on me again. If he was waiting for me to thank him, he was going to be waiting for an eternity to hear that, but there was something I wanted to ask him. Did you know? Did you always know what I would become? He sighed heavily. I am the god of prophecy. That's not really an answer. Apollo was quiet for a moment and then said, A prophecy is never guaranteed to play out like it has been seen. Not every aspect of fate is written in stone. I had foreseen the rise of the Appointed One. I have foreseen what is to come. But it still can change. You know, a heads up about this whole god thing would have been great. He smirked. What would it have changed? If I had known what I was to become and what I could control, I wouldn't have left Josie. And do you plan to keep feeding off your priestesses without her knowing? He volleyed back, proving that he'd been keeping an eye on this. Or will you feed off her? Fury punched me straight in the chest, and I stepped up to Apollo, going eye to eye. Or maybe I will take up residence in Olympus and not have to worry about feeding. I'm thinking the place could use a little redecorating. Apollo's eyes flipped all white. Is that a threat? I smiled tightly. I guess we'll just have to wait and find out. Won't we? His expression locked down. His features impassive as he started to fade out. We just might.
Josie, I was dreaming again. Part of me could recognize that, a very distant part of me that knew that I wasn't really standing at the university. I was at Seth's home. I knew that, but I could feel the warm breeze on my arms and stirring my loose hair. I could see the tall marble statues that lined the courtyard as the stranger with blonde hair and bright blue eyes stepped forward, taking my hands in his. Hi there, he said. I could hear someone crying behind me as he turned my hands over so they were palm up. It's time, don't you think? Time for what? I asked, confused. The stranger smiled boyishly. Jolting awake, I sat straight up. The soft blanket slipped down and pooled at my waist as I glanced around the room. My head pounded like someone had taken up residence inside my skull and started banging on a set of drums. Hey, you're awake. I jerked around, spying Alex at the entryway to the living room. She was holding a mug in her hand. Yeah, I am. She came into the room, her long ponytail bouncing with each step. How are you feeling? Okay. Pushing the blanket aside, I dropped my bare feet to the floor. Actually, I have one hell of a headache.
Can I get you something for it, Kyria?
Basil announced without warning. He'd suddenly appeared in the doorway. My eyes widened, as did Alex's. I hadn't even heard him come into the room. Thanks. That would be great. Basil bowed and quickly disappeared. I looked at Alex. Is he like a ninja ghost or something? She giggled. I think so. Where is everyone? Aiden is making a few phone calls. She dropped into a nearby chair. We might have a lead on where you were held. Really? She nodded as she sipped what smelled like coffee. There is a community of Pures that have reported what seems like shade attacks. They are outside Baton Rouge. Aiden will... He will be heading there tomorrow morning. Seth's going to poof him there. He'll try to catch one of them and get it to talk. He's going by himself? Yep. I am not too happy about it. Alex leaned to the side, placing the mug on the table beside her. Not that I don't think he can't take care of himself, but it's... I get it, I told her. It's dangerous. Why aren't you going with him? She raised a brow. For me to go? Well, Seth would have to poof me there, too, and that would mean you'd be by yourself. My brows lifted. I can be by myself. I know, but... Seriously, Aiden shouldn't be doing this by himself and leave you here to worry about him because I can't be alone for 2 seconds. Trying to assuage my headache, I rubbed at my temples. It really didn't help. Where is Seth? Alex's gaze flickered away as she shook her head. I'm not sure. My eyes narrowed. Why do I have a feeling you do know where he is? Before she could answer, Basil returned. I dropped my hands when I saw that he held a jar of something that smelled minty. There was no aspirin, no water. Basil smiled down at me.
This is peppermint oil. When applied to the temples, it works to reduce the pain from headaches. You will find that it is far better than a chemical. May I?
Okay, I whispered, glancing at Alex. She'd picked up her mug, and all I could see were her brows raised over the rim. Basil tapped some of the oil onto the tips of his fingers before gently rubbing them against my temples. The oil was cool, but heated quickly. The brief massage did feel good. If it didn't work, I'd at least smell good. Like Christmas. That's what it reminded me of. Thank you, I said.
Is there anything else you need, Kiria?
I shook my head, a little uncomfortable with the idea of someone just waiting to go do things for me. Actually, I was a lot uncomfortable with it. Basil bowed neatly and then left the room. I had a feeling he was lingering out in the hallway. Back to Seth, I said. Where is he?
I'm right here, Seth answered.
I jumped at the sound of his voice. He'd literally popped out of nowhere and was now standing in the center of the living room. Holy demon nuts, Alex shrieked as coffee sloshed out of her cup and onto the front of her shirt. Jesus, that was not necessary. Seth's grin grew to epic proportions. It really wasn't, I told him, placing my hand over my thumping heart. Just because you can poof in and out of rooms does not mean you should.
But it's so much fun.
Alex was patting at the front of her shirt. Gods, you're going to be just as bad as freaking Apollo.
That's actually kind of insulting.
Seth joined me on the couch. He tipped his head to the side.
Why do you smell like Christmas?
My lips twitched. Sometimes it felt like Seth and I were playing in two very different ballparks. Other times it was like we shared the same mind. I had a headache and Basil gave me some peppermint oil. I'm kind of surprised you know what Christmas smells like, Alex muttered. She sighed as she looked down at herself. I smell like a coffee shop right now. Seth touched my arm. It was a gentle brush of his fingers, but it sent a tight shiver dancing over my skin.
How are you feeling?
Fine. Since he'd almost given me a heart attack, I wasn't really paying attention to my head any longer. I'm glad you decided to pop yourself into the room. We need to talk. Seth glanced at Alex. She smiled broadly back. His eyes narrowed. You're not letting Aiden go by himself to check out the shades, I told him. And when he opened his mouth, I kept going. It takes you how long to pop people back and forth? Seconds? I'll be fine for a few seconds. Even though I believed that, an icy trickle of fear climbed down my spine. I hated the feeling. You're going to take Alex. He stared at me a moment and then looked over at Alex again.
Did you talk her into this?
She rolled her eyes.
Yes, because she doesn't have a mind of her own.
I glared at him. It was my call, and it's the right call. Seth leaned back, popping a booted foot on the edge of the coffee table.
I'll think about it, but I need to tell you.
Don't try to distract me, I twisted toward him. Alex needs...
I just saw Apollo, Seth cut in.
What? He'd officially distracted me. Alex lurched forward in her chair. Where? Seth's eyes roamed over my face and then met and held my gaze.
I summoned him in the temple. Apparently, if you shed your blood over flame, you can't hurt another god in a temple. So he showed up this time.
I didn't say anything because I didn't know what to say. My father had been here on this island, and he hadn't come to see me?
I asked him about those bands, Seth said,
reaching over and picking up my hand.
He said only Hades can remove them.
That's good news, Alex clasped her hands. We just need to get Hades here.
He's not going to come here, not even if the temple is safe. Obviously, the Olympians are lacking in the courage department.
I was still snagged on the fact that my father had been here and I hadn't seen him. Because of you? Alex asked. Seth didn't even try to hide his little smirk.
Apollo is going down there to talk with Hades. He has to come through.
Alex said something, and I could feel myself nodding, but my entire being felt like it had been stung. All I could think was that he was here and... Wait, maybe Seth hadn't let him see me. Did he try to see me? He didn't immediately respond, and I knew the answer right then. I started to pull my hand away, but Seth's grip tightened. He pulled me toward him, and I wanted to resist, but the moment his arm circled my waist, I gave in. I planted my cheek on Seth's shoulder and squeezed my eyes shut against the stupid, pointless burn in them. Why was I surprised?
"We didn't have a very good conversation," Seth said after a moment.
His free hand smoothed over my cheek.
"And I think he knew the moment he left that temple, we wouldn't be talking."
I smiled weakly and pretended I didn't know that Seth was actually making excuses for Apollo, because it wasn't for him, it was for me, and I did appreciate it, but it didn't erase the hurt. My father had been on the absentee list nearly my entire life. He let my mom sink into mental illness that may or may not have been caused by him. He wasn't there for me through so much, with the exception of one long, lonely summer. He lied to me about my mother dying, and if he'd wanted to see me, he would have. Seth wouldn't have stopped him, and even if he had, Apollo could have found a way around him. The ache in my chest spread, and I didn't even know why it hurt so much, but as I snuggled into Seth and slowly opened my eyes, I realized that Apollo was my father by blood. And blood meant nothing.
Chapter 25. Seth. I wasn't sure what woke me at first, and I was a little surprised that I'd even managed to doze off while Josie had straight passed out around 2 in the afternoon. The ever-present concern for her had kept me awake, my thoughts whirling a mile a minute. Where in the fuck was Apollo? 3 days had passed since I'd seen Apollo. 4 days since Josie and I had made our deal, and her bruises had either faded into a dull yellow or disappeared completely. Even so, she was still easily exhausted. No amount of sun I had her sit in seemed to make much of a difference. She'd sleep throughout the night, waking once and sometimes twice due to a nightmare, always a nightmare. And then she'd be dead on her feet by the afternoon. She'd gotten sick twice in the last 3 days, once before eating breakfast and once afterward. There was still no increase in her ether. It flickered rapidly within her. On the outside, Josie was getting better. But on the inside, she wasn't. There was no denying that, and no one, not even the High Priestess, knew what to do while we waited for Apollo. And I swore with each passing hour that if he didn't come through with some way to get these bands off, I would end him the next time I saw him. The day after I'd seen Apollo, I did take Aiden and Alex to Baton Rouge. They'd called me last night after coming up empty-handed. There had been no signs of the Shades. If they had been there, they were long gone now. They wanted to come back here, and since I figured having them around couldn't hurt, I did the poofing thing with them. Even though I'd only been gone from Josie for about 10 seconds each time, I hated it. Didn't like it one bit. The Titans might not have any idea where we were, but they had to be looking for us. Blinking my eyes open just in time to avoid a flailing arm, I jerked back and then caught Josie's hand before it connected with my nose. I rose onto my elbow and stared down at her. A faint sheen of sweat had broken out across her forehead as her head twisted from side to side, face pale and brow pinched. Her chest rose and fell with 2 quick breaths. Another fucking nightmare. "Josie, baby," I said, letting go of her arm and clasping her chin. "Wake up. Come on, wake up." The skin around her eyes tightened, and then her lashes fluttered. A couple of seconds passed, and those azure eyes were locked onto mine, full of confusion. "Hey." I trailed my thumb along her lower lip. The cut had healed, leaving her lips lush and perfect once more. I grinned, even though my heart thumped painfully in my chest. "You're okay?"
"Yeah."
Did I wake you?
She asked sleepily, brows pinched. Dragging my thumb over her cheek, I kissed her forehead. You were having a nightmare.
I was?
I lifted up and met her gaze. You don't remember? She stared at me for a moment and then sighed, averting her gaze to my shoulder.
I was dreaming about being back there,
she said, and she didn't need to elaborate on where there was.
I'm sorry.
You do not need to apologize. Smoothing her hair back from her face, I guided her gaze back to mine. Don't apologize for that. Josie was quiet as she stared back at me, and I didn't know what to say. Comforting her with words didn't come easy. But I wanted my words to bring her ease so she could sleep without being haunted by what she'd experienced. What were you dreaming about? I asked. The corners of her lips turned down.
Just being stuck in that place.
And what? I leaned back on my elbow as she rolled onto her side, facing me.
It doesn't matter. It was just a nightmare.
Joe. Her eyes rolled as she placed her hand against my chest. Her fingers were cool.
Whatever, a Pollyanna.
Her nose wrinkled.
Wait, I can't even call you that anymore. No fair.
I chuckled. What a shame. She dragged her finger over my chest.
Did you go somewhere when I fell asleep earlier? I thought I felt you leave the bed.
Surprise shuttled through me. I had left briefly so I could feed. I met with Basil for a few moments, which wasn't entirely a lie. I had met with him on my way back. Josie hadn't asked about the whole feeding thing, and I was hoping she wouldn't. At least for the time being, while I figured out how to explain that I still needed to feed. I'm surprised you even noticed me gone. You were snoring so loudly.
I was not snoring.
She slapped my chest. That's insulting. It's nothing to be ashamed of. I teased. She shot me a dirty look.
You're a jackass.
You love me.
You're lucky that I do.
My damn heart clenched in response. Fuck, I couldn't help it, I was lucky. Hearing her say that did things to me I couldn't even begin to describe. Reaching over, I tugged on the thin straps of the tank top she was wearing. I knew that, under the blankets, she wasn't wearing any pants, and I struggled not to focus on that little fact. I was behaving myself. Toying with the strap, I thought about what Aiden had told me upon bringing him and Alex back. A community in East Texas had reported a larger-than-normal number of pures going missing. Hopefully, that was our lead, and Hyperion would be found nearby. I'd close out the week by turning that fucking bag of dicks into nothing but a smear on the ground. Maybe, if I killed Hyperion, then Josie wouldn't be so haunted, so terrorized.
You look like you're about to break your brain,
Josie said. I raised a brow, but the smartass response died on the tip of my tongue. I want to help you. Her gaze flickered to mine as she placed her palm on my shoulder.
You are.
Really? I'm not so sure about that. You have nightmares every night, sometimes twice a night. You're still exhausted all the time, and you've been sick. I drew in a shallow breath.
I just want to help you. Tell me how I can.
Josie didn't respond for a long moment, and I knew she was trying to think of a way to change the subject. Talking about her time being held captive wasn't something she wanted to do. Couldn't really blame her for that, but I also knew just how badly unspoken words and unwanted memories could fester.
Distract me,
she whispered, finally, running her hand up my chest and around to the nape of my neck. Her fingers slid through my hair and then over to my cheek.
Kiss me.
I didn't hesitate. There was no way I could deny her. Ever.
Josie. Seth lowered his head, his eyes lit from within by an amber fire. The moment his lips brushed mine, I wasn't thinking about the way the packed, cold dirt floor felt against my skin. The kiss started off sweet, a little bit of pressure that left me aching for so much more than just a sweep of his lips on mine. When he started to lift his head, I caught him around the nape of the neck and held him there. "More," I whispered in the space between us. His chest rose sharply.
"Are you sure?"
I started to frown. "Why wouldn't I be?" Seth's eyes searched mine.
"You've been through a lot. I'm trying not to rush you into anything."
Lifting my mouth to his, I cut his words off. He was startled for a second and held still. I wasn't exactly great at initiating the whole kissing thing, but I touched the tip of my tongue to the seam of his lips, and he opened immediately for me. I deepened the kiss, hoping to show him that what I needed right now was for him, for us to be like the way we were before he left, before Hyperion reappeared. Since we've been reunited, all we'd done was kiss, nothing more. He'd just recently started holding me in bed instead of making sure there was space between us, and I needed more. Seth's hand tightened on my shoulder, and I felt the tremble rock his body. I almost held my breath, fearing that he would pull away, but he didn't. He made this sound that came from the back of his throat, a sound that was animalistic and purely sexual as he finally, really kissed me. His hand slid down my arm and found its way to my stomach.
"Okay," he murmured. "Destruction is something I excel at."
"I think there are a lot of things you excel at." Thrilled that I wasn't going to have to beg, my bones liquefied as his hand coasted up over my ribcage. His tongue flicked over mine, and he drew out the kiss until I was practically panting for breath, and only then did he lift his mouth from mine. He chuckled when my fingers tugged on his hair.
"Like what? Don't be shy. I love it when you list all the amazing things about me."
His hand slipped over my breast, and I gasped. His nimble fingers made their way under the hem of my top and found the aching peak.
You're really good at that."
"But do I excel at it?" he asked,
catching the nipple between his fingers and tugging gently. Back arching, I moaned as I slipped my hand down to his shoulder.
"Yeah, yes."
He dragged the neckline of my top down, exposing the area of his current fixation.
"And how about this?"
Before I could respond, he closed his mouth around where his two fingers had been and sucked deep, hard. A strangled cry ripped from me as heaviness filled my breasts and tiny coils formed low in my stomach. Pleasure darted through my veins. Seth lifted his head and moved to the other breast. His warm breath danced over my skin.
"Do I excel?"
I think you know the answer to that.
His tongue flicked over my nipple.
"I think I need to hear you say that."
My fingers dug into his skin.
"You do."
He rewarded my answer with another swipe of his tongue and a quick nip that melted my insides. He rose, his tongue dragging across my mouth as his hand drifted down my stomach and the tips of his fingers slipped under the band of my undies. He stopped as his mouth played over mine, and for a moment I worried that he wouldn't go any further than kissing and heavy petting. But then his hand moved, and one long finger was slipping over the very center of me.
"Oh, God," I whispered against his mouth.
"Yes,"
I laughed softly.
"I can already tell this is something you believe I excel at," he said, voice deep and rough.
Running my hand down his muscled arm, I curled my fingers over his forearm.
"I do. I really, really do."
"Then I suppose I should prove my talents."
Seth did just that, sinking one finger deep inside me. My hips bucked as raw sensation poured into me. His thumb circled and pressed down on the bundle of nerves as he eased another finger inside. His finger moved slowly at first, and then he did something with that finger, hooking it in a way that caused me to lose control. No, that was a lie. I never really had control when it came to Seth and to this. I held onto his arm as I ground against his hand and clutched at the strands of his hair with my other hand. His kiss swallowed my cry of release. My body collapsed back against the bed. For a moment, I just lay there, letting the sweet aftershocks ripple through my body. He slipped his hand from between my thighs, and with half-open eyes, I watched him lift his finger to his mouth. Holy crap! Everything about me clenched. I reached for him, grabbing at the loose pants he wore. He came only so far, stopping as he hovered above me. "You're not done distracting me," I told him.
"Hmm?"
He gripped my hip.
"That was all about you."
I tugged on him, wanting his body flush to mine, but he didn't budge. "I want this to be about us now." He kissed me and then made that rough, raw sound again.
"What I just did was about us," he said.
I could feel his arousal against my hip, so I knew he wanted this, wanted me, but he was, like I had suspected, holding back.
"Seth, I want you."
His eyes drifted shut.
"I will never get tired of hearing that."
"Then let me have you, all of you."
Lowering his forehead to mine, he murmured.
"Psyche Mo, I want you to be ready."
"I am ready."
He didn't respond, but his fingers brushed over my wrist, over the band. He didn't pull my hand away, but he held it still. My heart swelled and broke at the same time.
"You're not rushing me into something I'm not ready for," I told him. "You never would, because I know that I'm always safe when I'm with you."
His forehead slid against mine.
"You weren't safe when I fed from you before."
"You didn't hurt me. I didn't even feel it, and it was nothing like what happened when I was with them," I told him. "And we already talked about that. Doing that without my permission wasn't okay, not by a long shot. But I've forgiven you, and you've promised to never do it again without asking. And we've moved past that. I trust you, Seth. I trust that I will always be safe with you," I repeated. "That you will always make sure of that."
He froze for a moment and then said roughly,
"I don't deserve you."
I cupped his cheek.
"See, that's where you're being just plain stupid."
A startled chuckle left him.
"You do deserve me," I continued. "You deserve my love."
No sooner did those words leave the tip of my tongue before his mouth slanted over mine, and I knew he wouldn't stop this time. He wouldn't ask me if I was okay or worry that I wasn't ready for this. We were so going to do this.
His lips moved down my throat, leaving a trail of hot kisses and tight shivers in their wake. Sensations raced over my skin. My heart sang, and this was better.
A knock on the door jolted me. Above me, Seth nipped at my throat.
"Ignore it."
"All righty," I moaned as I reached between us, wrapping my hand around the thick length straining through his loose cotton sweats. He groaned against my heated skin.
I held my breath, and then his mouth closed over the top of my breast, and my entire body tensed and then jerked.
"Oh, gods."
The knock came again, this time louder and more incessant, but Seth was still on the move, his hands shoving the blanket aside. I lost my grip on him.
"Seth," Aiden yelled. "I know you're in there."
Seth's head stopped about an inch from what was going to be his promised land.
"If you do not go away, Aiden, I will physically and gleefully harm you." "Yeah, I'm going to have to risk that," was the response.
A low growl emanated from Seth as he rose.
"I'm so fucking warning you. We just heard from Deacon."
Aiden's voice carried through the closed door.
"They found the demigod that was in Canada."
Chapter 26. After much, much arguing and a few slammed doors and me threatening to steal a boat so I could leave the island and then catch a plane, Seth relented, and I was going with them to the university. I appreciated that he was concerned for my well-being, but the Covenant was warded against the Titans, and I would be safe there. And it wasn't like we were driving there. Seth was going to do his super special transporting thing. He really didn't see the point in any of us going there, but from what Aiden had gathered from Deacon, the girl they'd brought back with them was not exactly thrilled by what was happening. According to Deacon, she had barricaded herself in one of the dorms and was refusing to come out. Of course, any number of the Pures could have busted the door right open, but doing so wouldn't have helped matters. Currently, Gable was trying to coax the girl out by relating to what she was experiencing. There was also the very real chance that they had kidnapped the wrong person, since they didn't have Herc to help sniff out the demigod blood, so we were all hoping that the boys hadn't committed a felony. I was curious to how they'd determined that this was one of the demigods. Plus, I didn't want to be left behind like some kind of frail damsel. I refused to allow that to happen. The last thing I needed was endless time alone to dwell over the time I'd spent with the Titans or my mom's death. My subconscious was already doing a bang-up job at that. And if that wasn't enough to worry about, I was really, really beginning to stress over the whole nauseous and tired thing I was going through. More than once over the last couple of days, I'd tried to seriously figure out the last time I'd had my period. My life had been absolutely insane since I walked into Seth in the stairwell at Radford University. Stress can affect the whole monthly cycle thing, but I was sure I had not had a period in well over a month. But, and it was a huge but, I'd also been virtually starved while being held by Hyperion. I knew that could affect a cycle. I also didn't think I'd have symptoms of, oh gods, a pregnancy so soon after unprotected sex. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, even though it felt like an eternity. It had only been 3 weeks, give or take a couple of days. I didn't think women had symptoms that quickly, but I also wasn't exactly normal. And how in the world could a pregnancy last after what I'd been through? My stomach dipped and rolled every time I seriously thought about the probability of actually being impregnated. I couldn't even process it or what that would really mean. So, like any normal 20-year-old, I decided to ride the river of denial and pushed it aside for the time being. After pulling on a pair of jeans Basil had gotten from somewhere and tugging my hair up in a ponytail, we were ready to go. Seth did the cool god thing, taking Aiden to the Covenant first. That is so bizarre, Alex said, shaking her head. I mean, I thought I'd be used to it by now, but I'm not. It's just so bizarre. I looked over at her. But awesome. I'm so entirely jealous. A grin tugged at my lips, and then Seth reappeared in front of us, causing me to jump. He smiled as he took my hand.
I'm going to take you next. You ready?
Not really. I looked over at Alex, hoping it didn't make me puke. My stomach felt fine today, but then again, I hadn't been poofed anywhere. It feels really weird. Yes, it does, she said with wide eyes. Wrapping my arm around Seth's waist, I took a deep breath and prepared myself as best I could, which was to close my eyes. I'm ready, Seth chuckled.
You look like you're about to jump out of an airplane.
Shut up, I grumbled, keeping my eyes closed. He laughed again, and then I felt his breath on my cheek. A heartbeat later, his lips brushed over mine. I gasped in surprise, and he took complete advantage of that, kissing me deeply.
I'm glad that's not how I got here, I heard Aiden say.
My eyes flew open, and at first all I saw were glowing, tawny eyes, and then I stepped back, looking around. I wasn't in Seth's house anymore. We were standing in a large office. I immediately recognized the older man standing by the desk. Marcus, Alex's uncle and the dean of the university. We were at the Covenant.
Did you forget how I excel at distraction? Seth murmured in my ear.
I flushed hotly. Damn it, he was good. Kissing my cheek, Seth let go.
I'll be right back.
Before I could say a word, he vanished, and then suddenly Deacon was in front of me, all blonde curls and silver eyes. Deacon! I barely got his name out before I was swept up in his lanky arms and hugged until I squeaked. Laughing, I held him just as tightly. It's so good to see you.
You have no idea.
He rocked me from side to side, and I swore for a second my feet dangled.
Shit! It's good to see you.
The moment Deacon let go, I was enveloped in another hug, and this time it was Luke.
We missed you, he said,
then stepped back, still clasping my upper arms. A half-smile formed on his handsome face.
Chicken tenders and fries haven't been the same without you. Neither has been watching Supernatural, Deacon chimed in. Luke is all about Sam. I need my Team Dean cohort.
Blinking back sudden tears, I laughed again. These two, I'd only just met them a few months ago, but they were my friends, and I'd missed them. Well, we need to get some tenders and fries and watch Supernatural. Oh, and bacon. The university had amazing bacon. I don't know how they made it differently, but they did. Deacon nodded empathetically.
We cannot forget about the bacon.
I barely pulled it together as Marcus smiled in my direction.
It's good to see you again, Ms. Bethel.
Thank you. I swallowed hard as Seth reappeared, this time with a dazed-looking Alex. She stumbled a step and then shook her head. Holy crapola, I will never get used to that. Never.
Try having him randomly pop into your office, Marcus commented dryly.
Seth walked over to where I stood.
But what fun would it be if I announced my arrival first?
Indeed.
Marcus lifted his brows as he leaned back against the desk.
Now that we are all here, the Army of Awesome reunited at last.
Deacon grinned while his brother sighed heavily.
It's been a long time coming.
We do have a small issue to contend with, Marcus continued.
Just a tiny one, Deacon added,
as Alex dropped into one of the chairs placed in front of Marcus's desk.
Our little Canadian demigod refuses to believe that she is what we're saying she is, and we are what we're saying we are.
That's not exactly surprising.
Aiden folded his arms.
Most mortals don't even know we exist.
Yeah, but she's not like most mortals, Luke chimed in.
Feeling a little nauseous all of a sudden, I sat in the chair next to Alex. How so? Wait a sec. How are we sure she's who we're looking for?
That's a good question, Alex said, rising a brow. Kidnapping is a felony.
Well, technically, even if she's a demigod, they still kidnapped her.
Seth shrugged when we all looked at him.
Hey, I'm just pointing out the obvious here.
Luke turned to Deacon.
You want to do the honors?
Of course.
Deacon would never turn down being the center of the attention.
Once we got back here with Gable, we had no idea how we were going to find the last two demigods. So I had this idea. Why don't I try to find the librarian?
Aiden's mouth dropped open.
You went to Medusa? Please tell me you did not attempt to talk to Medusa.
I just want to add at this moment that she is not an official employee of the university, Marcus stated,
and I smothered an absurd-sounding giggle. Deacon shrugged.
It was a risk I was willing to take. What's the worst that could have happened?
She could have, you know, turned you into stone, Alex suggested, voice pitching high.
Obviously, she didn't see me as a threat, because I'm standing here, and I'm not made out of stone. I would like to go on record and say I had no idea he planned on doing that.
Luke slid his narrowed gaze to his boyfriend.
He just went and did it without telling me. And it worked.
Deacon reached into his pocket.
All it took was one trip to the library. It's like she was waiting for me, like she knew I was coming. Super freaky, if you think about it.
Seriously? It took me so many times to get her to appear, I muttered, trying not to pout.
Well, I'm just that special. Anyway, I told her that we were going to find the other demigods, and she gave me this.
Uncurling his fist, he revealed a necklace that dangled from his fingers. Hanging from an ordinary chain appeared to be some kind of clear quartz crystal. I leaned forward, squinting. What is that?
It's a scrying stone.
He grinned as he cupped the stone in his other hand.
If you're looking for someone and you know what city they're in, all you have to do is hold it over a map and bam, tells you the exact location. We found our little Canadian demigod working at a bookstore in Thunder Bay.
Hope sparked in my chest. If they used it to find this demigod, then we could use it to find where Mitchell was being held. As soon as the thought finished, I realized the stone would not be able to help us there. We didn't know the city he was in. I pushed aside that frustration as I eyed the stone. That's pretty amazing.
Right?
Deacon slipped it back into his pocket as Marcus pushed off the desk and walked behind it.
Let's back up for a second. What do you mean she's not like other mortals?
Seth placed his hands on the back of my chair.
What does that mean?
I think I know who her godly parent is, which has to do with why she's not exactly normal, Luke said. She's Demeter's daughter.
Marcus sat in the chair behind the desk as Deacon nodded.
We kind of did the whole stalking her thing for a bit, trying to figure out what was the best way to approach this, when we caught her doing something very interesting after work.
Seth opened his mouth, and I just knew it was going to be something wildly inappropriate. Don't, I warned. He smirked.
She was walking by some old, dried-out bushes. No idea what kind they were.
Deacon hopped up and sat on the desk. Marcus sighed.
She stopped and looked around. There wasn't anyone else outside. She didn't see us hiding in the car like complete stalkers.
Nice, Alex murmured.
She ran her fingers over the bush, and the thing came back to life. Completely, Luke explained. Went from dead and brown to looking like it was just planted there.
Demeter is the goddess of agriculture, among other things.
Marcus leaned back in his chair, crossing one knee over the other.
Which begs the question of why she is so resistant to the truth, considering that it is not something mortals can do. It also makes me wonder how she was able to do it. I was under the impression their powers were bound.
I gaped. What the hell? I didn't have any cool abilities like that. Not at all. Seth was bent at the waist, so his head was next to mine when he laughed.
Ah, but you're still special.
Shut up, I muttered crossly. I still don't have any special abilities like that. Seth patted my head, and I about swung at him.
So, he said, is she still locked in a dorm room?
Yep,
Luke smiled tightly.
She's been talking to Gable through the door, but she won't open it, and other than the water that was in the room, she hasn't had anything else to drink or eat. We need to get her out.
Then get her out,
Seth straightened,
and force some food down her throat. She gets with the program, or what?
Aiden's eyes darkened to a thunderous gray. One side of Seth's lips tipped up.
There are no other options, St. Delphi.
Though his delivery sucks, I reasoned, Seth has a point. I can try to talk to her.
Well, while you guys convince this girl that you all aren't crazy and not to press charges, Aiden and I are going to head to Texas.
Seth pushed off the chair. What? I looked up at him.
When Aiden and Alex were in Baton Rouge, they learned about a community outside of Houston that has had some Pures disappear,
Seth explained.
And right before we came here, I got a call from a sentinel that they were tracking what they believed were shades. Aiden added. Since the Covenant is warded, we're going to check it out.
I was kind of surprised that Seth was willing to leave me here, but also relieved that he trusted that the Covenant was secure.
So you guys are going now? Alex asked.
Aiden nodded.
There are a couple of abandoned warehouses about 2 miles from their community.
She lifted her chin. So I'm going with you guys. Behind me, Seth sighed.
That's not necessary, Aiden returned.
It's not, she asked, voice low.
Oh, man, Deacon mumbled.
As Alex and Aiden descended into a full-blown argument, Seth tapped me on the shoulder and widened his eyes as he nodded to the door. Pushing out of my chair, I followed him to the hallway outside the dean's office, closing the door behind me. Do you think Aiden is going to cave and let Alex come? I asked. Seth propped his hip against the wall.
She can be fairly convincing when she wants in on the action, but there really is no point. When they went to Baton Rouge, it was a bust, and even though there are a few places that fit the description of the warehouse you were held in, that doesn't mean we're going to find anything. She doesn't need to go. Neither does Aiden.
But he wants to help. Both of them do, I reasoned.
I get that, but they're a liability,
he pointed out with a one-shoulder shrug.
They are demigods, but that doesn't mean they can't be seriously injured or killed. I, on the other hand, cannot be killed as easily.
My stomach dipped at the thought of Seth being in danger. Well, we demigods aren't that easy to kill, I reminded him as the door opened and Marcus walked out, Deacon and Luke behind them. They moved to the other end of the hall, and I thought it was kind of funny that Aiden and Alex had chased the dean out of his own office. Damn.
But only Cronus, Hera, and Zeus can kill me. And based on what you've said about Cronus, he's really not a threat at this moment.
And what about Zeus and Hera?
Seth grinned.
Pretty sure they spend the vast majority of their time watching old reruns of Happy Days and trying to kill each other. They aren't a problem.
Happy Days? When I pictured Zeus, I saw a middle-aged man with a beard for some odd reason, and now I saw him lounging on a couch watching Fonzie on a massive big screen, while Hera sat in a recliner glaring at him. I shook those images out of my head. I know you're the ultimate badass right now, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't be careful. A playful grin teased at his lips.
You know me. I'm always careful.
Uh-huh, I murmured.
Surprised you're not demanding to go,
Seth said after a moment. Do you want me to?
No, I'm glad you're not pushing it.
I tilted my head to the side. We made a deal, and I still have these bands on my wrists. I paused, breathing through another sharp wave of nausea. And I...
What?
His gaze sharpened, all playfulness gone. I'm good at the hand-to-hand stuff. I mean, you taught me. So did Luke and Solos. My heart hurt thinking of the fallen half-blood. But I'm tired.
How tired?
Not anything serious, I rushed to assure him. I didn't tell him that I felt sick because I knew if I did, he wouldn't leave. I just know that I'm not up to 100%, and even though I want to help and I hate staying back, I know I need to stay. Going out there with these damn bands on my wrists and feeling like I do would be the stupidest decision ever. His eyes searched mine, and then he nodded.
Thank you.
Before I had a chance to ask him what he was thanking me for, Aiden stepped out into the hallway. Based on the messy dark hair and the swollen appearance of his lips, I was guessing he and Alex had argued and then made up.
Ready when you are,
he called.
And Alex, Seth asked.
The tips of his cheeks flushed.
She's agreed to stay behind. Uh-huh.
Sliding his hand to the nape of my neck, Seth kissed the center of my forehead, and then his lips found mine. The kiss was intense, flipping and twisting my insides into a pleasant, heady mess. My hands found their way to his chest, and my fingers curled into his shirt. As he lifted his head, I wished we had enough time to go somewhere private and finish what we'd started in his bedroom.
Be back soon, he said, kissing the corner of my lips.
I nodded and nearly slumped against the wall as he let go of me. He swaggered down the hall to where Aiden waited. Goodness, that was a kiss. Snapping out of the daze, I stepped forward. Seth? He looked over his shoulder. I love you. Seth's response was immediate. The smile that raced across his face was wide and beautiful, and the look he sent me turned my insides to goo. He didn't take his eyes off me as he placed his hand on Aiden's shoulder. A second later, they were gone. Grinning, Deacon strode forward, hands in his pockets.
Ready to meet our guest?
Chapter 27 Seth. We made a pit stop in the weapons room before we went to Texas. Although I really didn't need them, I grabbed two daggers and a belt, mainly because the daggers were fun to use. Aiden hooked on a set and also grabbed one of the Glocks that was loaded up with titanium-capped bullets. His demigod abilities, much like Josie's, weren't infinite. He'd eventually tire out. I, on the other hand, pretty much just wanted to stab something. You ready? I asked, amused by the fact that we were actually working together again. I don't want to be gone too long. Understandable. Aiden walked over to where I stood, but stopped. His steady gaze met mine. What's the plan if we come face to face with a Titan? If only we'd get that lucky. One side of my lips kicked up. Kill them. Aiden crossed his arms as an eyebrow rose. That's not exactly a plan. The gods, I really don't care what the gods want. Killing the Titans causes pretty catastrophic consequences. Aiden reasoned, just like the good saint that he was. We might have gotten lucky with Percy's, but we have to take that into consideration. Our actions impact the lives of innocent people, Seth. I wondered if saying I really didn't care would make me sound like an ass. His eyes narrowed. I can tell what you're thinking. You have to care about this. See, that's the thing, Aiden. I don't have to do anything I don't want to. I'm not you. I told him. I'm not here to save the world. That's not who I am. I will never be that. A muscle ticked in his jaw. Then what are you? You know what I am. I cocked my head to the side. A selfish, arrogant prick? He replied blandly. My smile spread. There is only one person I truly care about. Only one person I would go to the ends of the earth to keep safe. You're not that person. It would be wise to remember that. Aiden lifted his chin as his eyes flashed silver. You need to remember that I would do anything to keep Alex safe, and if killing Titans puts her in danger, then I will do whatever it takes to stop you. I think you will try to stop me. I corrected helpfully. Look, what do you want me to say, Aiden? What would you do if Hyperion had gotten hold of Alex and did those things to her? His lips thinned. I know what you wanted to do to Ares. I know what you wanted to do to me. I pointed out. Aiden looked away. I'm not completely irresponsible, contrary to popular belief. If there is a way to entomb those Titans without putting Josie in harm's way, I'm all for it, but I will not let Hyperion live. There is no convincing me otherwise. So if you have a problem with that, then you should probably sit this one out, because if I come face to face with him, he's a dead motherfucker. A moment passed, and Aiden said, "That I can understand." His gaze lifted to the ceiling. Hyperion is the god of heavenly light, one of the pillars of Earth. The East, I believe. Not sure what taking him out would do. Whatever his death caused was worth it to ensure that Josie never had to live in fear of his return. Cronus was also on my to-kill list, but I wasn't sharing that at this moment. Aiden drew in a shallow breath. I don't agree with you 9 out of 10 times, but this? This thing with Hyperion? I understand. If I'd had a chance to kill Ares, I would have taken it. My gaze met his. And if you'd had a chance to kill me, you would have taken it. Yes. Yes, I would have. Glad we're on the same page. I clapped a hand down on Aiden's shoulder. Let's go. I didn't wait for Aiden's response. Taking us to the location the sentinel Aiden had been in contact with had told us to meet. Within seconds, we were in the sticky, murky air of Houston. Gods! A deep male voice boomed in shock from behind us. Turning around, I smiled as I eyed the group of sentinels. Yes? The sentinel in the middle, the one who had spoken, took a step back. His eyes were wide as the sun glistened off his deep brown skin. The other three sentinels looked like they were close to passing out. Aiden moved to stand beside me. Torin? He nodded. You warned me that he was a god, but I just wasn't prepared for that. The half glanced in my direction. You're really a god. My smile kicked up a notch. One of the sentinels behind him blanched. Aiden sighed. Yes, he's really a god. And yes, he can do all the cool god things, but we really have limited time, so if we can get the shock and awe out of the way, that would be great. I slid Aiden a long look. Well, that takes the fun out of everything. He ignored me. What do you have for us, Torin? Torin appeared to snap out of his shock as he ran a hand over his closely cropped dark hair. As you know, we've had quite a lot of pures go missing recently, but we've had few demon attacks.
We've actually barely seen any demons.
Another sentinel spoke up, a younger brunette who barely looked old enough to be out of the Covenant.
So that right there was suspicious.
We have mandatory escorts in place when the pures leave the communities. It was on a recent shopping trip that we learned we were dealing with shades. They'd possessed several mortals that attacked one of our groups. Torin explained, resting one hand on the handle of a dagger. There was only one survivor. They confirmed what happened. So why are we on this roof in the baking sun of Houston? I asked. The female sentinel strolled forward, walking past us to the cement edge of the roof. She easily hopped up.
See the office building 3 blocks down? The tall one with the pyramid-shaped roof?
Yes. Aiden followed, squinting.
As we told you, we've been tracking what we believe to be the shades. Other than their smell, it's not easy identifying them if they want to blend in,
she said, turning to the building.
We're pretty positive that's where they've been holing up.
Is it an active office building? Aiden asked, and of course he sounded concerned. Are there mortals working in there? Yes. Torin joined the female. That's why we've been holding off. Looks like the upper two floors are actually penthouse-type rooms. The rest is office space. They're in this building, surrounded by what appears to be mortals who aren't possessed and probably have no idea what is going on.
Plus, those mortals, those shades are riding, are innocent.
The girl tacked on.
If they haven't hurt those bodies, the mortals can be saved if we can get the shades out of them.
And that's stopped you because? I asked, genuinely curious. All the sentinels turned and looked at me, not Aiden. He just stared at the building, probably weeping inside because he knew what I already knew. There was no helping those mortals. I hate to break it to you guys, I said. This isn't an episode of Supernatural. Once the shades get into the body, the mortal is as good as dead. There is no coming back from that. You're not saving them from shit. The girl turned to us, her face paling.
There's no exact proof of that, because the shades...
Because the shades almost always kill the mortals before they leave the body. Aiden answered, turning to face us. We need to get in there and see what we're dealing with. Torin nodded. That's why we're here. We're your backup. And if we can save those mortals in there, we're going to try. We're not going to let them die. I smirked, but said nothing. If they wanted to think we needed backup and that they could play superhero to a bunch of already dead mortals, then whatever. I strode forward and leapt onto the edge. The buildings were tucked up against one another all the way to the office we needed to get into. I could easily pop myself to the building, but then I'd have to wait for the rest of them, and I knew better than to think I'd actually wait. I looked over at Aiden, saw that he was gauging the distance between the rooftops. It would be a series of impossible jumps for a mortal to make, but not for us. Not for trained sentinels. Let's do this. Torin backed up a few steps and then took off running. His booted feet launched off the edge. He vaulted over the gap, landing on the roof of the next building in a roll. He popped up and took off again, moving faster than the mortals on the ground could track. The other 3 sentinels followed. Aiden was next. He did the same, taking several steps back before he got a running leap. He got more air than the rest, and he landed in a crouch before springing back up and going for the next building. I didn't need to run. Muscles tensed. Power lit up every cell. I kicked off the ledge. Warm air whipped over my body. I landed in the center of the second roof just as Aiden cleared it, hitting the third. We hopscotched our way 3 blocks up, finally reaching the building, some kind of bank, next to the office building. The female sentinel was on the ledge, crouched between the letters of a large neon metal sign. She'd pulled a pair of binoculars out of the small backpack she wore. A sheen of sweat covered Torin's forehead as he stalked toward the edge.
See anything, Kia?
He asked. She held up a hand as she scanned the building. Torin faced us.
There's a lobby on the main floor. Office spaces every floor up, until the last two. She's looking for one of the shades we'd been tracking.
Aiden made his way up to the sign and knelt next to Kia. He said something to her as I walked over to the other edge. The building looked like all the rest, a modern-day stone fortress built with cement and glass, but there was a certain aura of darkness clinging to the gray stone. Maybe it was the godly senses kicking in, because I knew, without a doubt, that there were shades inside.
Got them. They're on the top floor,
Kia said, lowering the binoculars.
There's at least, hell, at least 20 that I counted. They're with the shade we were tracking. Some of them may be humans, but they're acting kind of weird.
I raised the brow. Can you elaborate on the weirdness?
Can I see?
Aiden asked, and was rewarded with the binoculars.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch, and most of them are just kind of lying around, on the floors. A few appear to be awake. They got at...
Hell. Aiden lowered the binoculars, exhaling roughly. I think they've got regular mortals in there.
How can you tell the difference?
Thorin asked. Aiden looked over his shoulder.
They got them tied up.
I snickered, unable to help myself.
Well, that would definitely be an indication.
Handing the binoculars back to Kia, Aiden rose.
I'm assuming the elevator will take you from the lobby to the top floors, but do you need a special access code to get to those rooms?
Yeah,
so we're going to need to get a card key.
Torin explained while Aiden nodded away.
There's a small maintenance room off the lobby that has all the keys.
We grab them, and then head up the elevator.
From there...
Turning away from them, I scanned the glass window in front of the top floor.
Yeah, I didn't have the fucking time for walking into the lobby and finding some damn key. I squinted at the glass floor-to-ceiling windows. There was no way all of our asses dressed in black and carrying guns and daggers wasn't going to draw some unwanted attention. We'd have to use compulsions. Someone would probably scream before we got the chance. I'd get annoyed. Then someone would end up going splat.
It's that section of windows right there? I asked, cutting into their conversation.
Correct?
Yes.
Kia rose.
That appears to be some sort of living room.
Cool.
I faced them. Can you guys keep a secret, like a really big secret, that I'd kind of have to kill you if you shared level of secret-keeping?
Seth.
Aiden sighed with a roll of his eyes. The sentinels exchanged looks, but Torin said with a shrug,
Yeah, I guess so.
Good. Smiling, I pivoted around and lifted my hands. A surge of power rushed the room.
Because I'm about to straight up murder some people. See you on the flip side.
Aiden started forward.
Seth!
It was too late. Centering myself, the blue sky around me faded out and was replaced by high white ceilings, slowly churning fans, and several still musky-smelling mortals.
Jackpot!
Chapter 28. Josie. How has everything been going on here? I asked Deacon as we walked toward the dorms. The last time I'd been at the university, it appeared as if a war was brewing between the pures and haves. The haves had been through a lot, and it had only been a matter of time before they started fighting back. With his hands in his pocket, he glanced up at the cloudless blue skies.
It seems to have calmed a bit since Luke and I got back.
I think a lot has to do with Marcus's no-tolerance policy. A lot of Pures have been expelled.
Good, I said, meaning it. Some of the Pures had been doing terrible things.
And a lot of other Pures have been standing side by side with the Haves.
We climbed the steps, and Deacon reached the doors first. He looked over his shoulder at me.
I'm hoping things continue to change, because the old way was one giant dumpster fire.
Agreed. We hit the common area of the dorm and passed a group of students who were sitting on the couches. I realized at once that we were walking down the same hall that Seth and I had stayed in before. Halfway down, Deacon stopped and faced me.
Before we do this whole meet-and-greet thing, I want to know how you're really doing.
I drew up short. I'm doing fine. He cocked his head to the side.
Josie, you were taken captive by a psychotic titan who had a major bone to pick with your father. How would you be doing okay after that?
A shaky laugh escaped me. Well, I'm okay as I can be, I guess. His gunmetal gray eyes met mine.
I was really scared for you. We all were.
I swallowed hard. I was scared for myself, I admitted quietly. I didn't think... I shook my head and drew in a deep breath as I reached up, tugging the band out of my hair. I didn't think I'd ever see anyone again. Deacon stopped, curling an arm around my shoulders. He pulled me in, and I went, circling my arms around his slim waist.
I said it before, but I'll say it again. I'm glad you're here, and if you need anyone to talk to, you got me. Don't forget that.
I squeezed my eyes shut against the sudden burn. I won't.
Good.
He kissed the top of my head and then drew back.
Now, let's go coax this girl out of her room.
Smiling weakly, I nodded. We started back down the hall, and I discovered that she had been placed in a room about 5 doors down from where I had stayed. I pulled myself together as we stopped in front of her door. It was important that we got her to understand what was happening here so she didn't end up like Mitchell, like me.
I know someone's out there, a voice from the other side of the door came. I can hear you breathing.
Frowning, I looked at Deacon and raised my brows. He grinned and murmured,
Heavy breather.
Rolling my eyes, I leaned against the wall. Hi, my name is Josie. You're Cora, right?
Yes, that's my name.
There was a pause.
If you're not here to let me leave, then you need to go away.
I was guessing now wasn't a good time to ask why the town she lived in was named Thunder Bay. I was curious as to how it had gotten such a badass name. Placing my hand on the door, I drew in a shallow breath. I know you're probably freaking out. I've been there, for real.
So you've been kidnapped and told that you're a demigod? She fired back.
Actually, yes. I glanced at Deacon. I don't like to use the word kidnapped, but when I was found, I didn't believe anything that was being said either. But it's true, all of it. And I know it doesn't seem that way, but we're the good guys, and you're safe here. There was a long stretch of silence, and then...
Is that guy out there?
Deacon is here with me.
Hi.